You can turn, please, in the living word of God to the book of Numbers and the chapter 13. Book of Numbers and the chapter 13. We've been looking at a number of characters over the summer period, and if I'm not mistaken, this may be the last character we look at, and then we'll take a little break and commence looking at something new next Lord's Day. But Numbers chapter 13. There's two places I want to read from. It's Numbers 13 as well as Joshua 14. But before we read, let's bow in a brief word of prayer. If you haven't prayed already, could I encourage you even now to ask that the Lord would speak to your heart a word in season. Our gracious Lord and our Father in heaven, I do want to thank Thee that we can come to Thee in prayer. Father, I want to thank Thee for each one who can sing with their heart, that where He may lead me, I will go. For I have learned to trust Him so. And we remember that it was for me that He died on Calvary. Father, may our eyes ever be set upon Christ. His great love to us, that we therefore will love Him with all that we have. Lord, we cry that Thou wouldst bless the reading of Thy word now. Lord, bless the preaching of it. Bring to my mind what Thou wouldst have me to say. Father, give me great help this morning. Give me great clarity. And Father, may Thy word go forth with Thy life and power. Lord, may it be a word in season to each one. I do believe it is the word that Thou wouldst have me to preach. But Father, may Thou be pleased to take it and write upon every heart. Change Thy people and save the lost, we cry. In Jesus' name we ask these things, even now. And look for Thee to answer prayer in the merits of Christ and for His glory alone. Amen. Numbers chapter 13. And we will commence reading at verse 1. We'll read at different parts of this chapter. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thy men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. And then in the following verses, we are told about which men are chosen from the various tribes. Now if you pick with me then up the reading at verse 17. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, Get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. And be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. Now if you could turn, please, keeping your finger in Numbers chapter 13, to the book of Joshua and the chapter 14. Book of Joshua, just a couple of books along. Book of Joshua and the chapter 14. Being told about how the land of Canaan was the inheritance that God had promised the children of Israel, and verses 1 to 5, we read in verse 6 that as Moses told the children of Israel to go, we read in verse 6 that the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses the man of God concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware in that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever even since the Lord spake his word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day fourscore and 5 years old. And yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain, wherefore the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be, the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord's saying. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron, what before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakim. And the land had rest from war. And the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Many years ago, a 19th century violinist, originally from Norway, called Orr Bornman Bull, went and visited America. And while he was in America, he was making his way through a forest. And coming to a small hut, he became curious and he went over to the hut and he knocked to see if anybody was in. And he found out that there was an old man there in the hut. And he was someone who, in essence, a bit was like a hermit. He just lived in that hut. He didn't really have much fellowship with anybody else. However, in that hut, this little old man had a violin. And as this Norwegian violinist spoke with the man, the old man would have explained how he just loved to play the violin. And so the Norwegian violinist turned around and says, "Well, let me hear." Now, the old man didn't know the Norwegian violinist from Adam, but the old man began to play. And he didn't play that bad, but he didn't play that well either. He just knew a couple of simple tunes, and he just tried to play the very best he did, but it was enough to entertain him. The violinist turned around and said to the old man, "Would you mind if I had a go at that?" And the old man said to the Norwegian violinist, "Well, you know, I don't think you'll be able to play it that well, because it took me years to get the standard I'm at the minute." The Norwegian violinist said, "Well, could I have a go at it anyway?" And that violinist took that violin, and he played some beautiful songs with it, and it made that old man cry. He sang him, or played him, such as "Nearer, My God, to Thee," and "Home, Sweet Home." You see, men and women, the difference between the violin in the hands of the old man and the violin in the hands of the master was huge. Someone knew exactly how to play that violin, knew exactly what to do with it, and made such a difference with the sound and the song that came from it. And this morning you and I are going to look at one character. There's so much regarding his life, we can only press it or summarize it this morning. But it is a man who gave his life to God. And his life was taken by the greatest of masters. And the Lord made a wonderful song, a beautiful song from that man's life. God himself is the greatest artist. And you see, if you and I give our lives into God's hands, he can take us and do something wonderful and magical with it. However, if you and I just try and do the best that we can, we'll end up making a shipwreck of our lives. Now, how can I sum up the life of Caleb? Well, if you turn me, please, to a number of places. Numbers chapter 14 to begin with. Numbers chapter 14 to verse 24. And here the Lord is speaking, and he says in Numbers 14 verse 24, "About my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully." Notice that phrase, "followed me fully." Now turn with me thou to Numbers chapter 32. Numbers chapter 32. And the verse 11. And here again the Lord is speaking, and says in verse 11, "Surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord." Now look at me, please, at the book of Deuteronomy in the chapter 1, in the verse 36. Deuteronomy chapter 1, in the verse 36. And again, the Lord is speaking, and he says in verse 35, "Surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land which I swear to give unto your fathers." And verse 36, "See of Caleb the son of Jephunneh, he shall see it, and to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon unto his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord." And then lastly, to the place we read earlier, Joshua chapter 14, in verse 8, we read where Caleb himself testifies. He says, "I wholly followed the Lord my God." In verse 9, we read that Moses declares that thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And in verse 14, we read about Caleb that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. If you and I could sum up the life of Caleb, we could do no better than the words that God repeats no less than 6 times. Caleb was a man who wholly followed the Lord God. A man who wholly followed the Lord God. Now, what does it mean to wholly follow God? Well, it simply means it's like a picture of a ship. You imagine, young people, a ship or a boat. And there someone will take the sails and they will raise up the sails upon the mast. And raising up every single sail the ship has, the wind will then come and will blow that ship. To wholly follow the Lord is simply to lift up every aspect of your life so the Lord can come and, like the wind, as it were, drive your life, direct your life, lead your life. That wherever He leads, as we sang earlier in a song, wherever He may lead me, I will go. That's what it means to wholly follow the Lord. The reality is, if you and I wholly follow the Lord and we give our lives to Him, surrender all that we have to Him every single day, He will, like that violinist, the great violinist, He'll take our lives and make it beautiful for His glory and for the good of man. But I wonder this morning, from the very outset, can you and I declare that our lives wholly follow the Lord? Can I declare that our lives are wholly surrendered to the Lord? Can you and I say, like the hymn writer, wherever the Lord may lead me, I will go. Now, to examine this phrase a little bit more fully, and to examine Caleb's character a little bit more fully, I want to look at a number of things. The first thing I want to look at from Caleb's life is Caleb's willingness to follow the Lord. Now, if you could turn, please, just want to look really at two main passages, Numbers 13 and Joshua 14, but looking at Numbers 13, because it's the first chronologically, Numbers chapter 13, and you and I will see Caleb's willingness to follow the Lord. Now, what's the context here? Whenever you come into the book of Numbers, God has already led the children of Israel out of Egypt. He has led them to Mount Sinai. That's where the book of Numbers begin, and there the Lord instructs the people. But after the 40 years of wilderness, they're still at Mount Sinai. And the Lord then leads them, at the beginning of Numbers, to a place called Kadesh Barnea, which is basically the edge of the promised land. This land that flows with milk and honey, this land that God had promised to give them. And here in chapter 13 of the book of Numbers, the Lord speaks to Moses and says, look, before you go into that land, I want you to get 12 men. I want you to get one man from every single tribe, but I want you to send those men to spy out that land. Now, this commission, this mission that God sends these 12 men on, there's a number of things about it. First of all, God's mission involved danger. If you look with me at Numbers chapter 13 and verse 16, we read, these are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. The word for spy there simply means to meander. According to Strong's Dictionary, it is used of military reconnaissance, the idea of someone going into enemy, not friendly, but enemy territory, to meander, to work their way around secretly, to try and find out information regarding the enemy. This involved danger, this mission that God was sending these 12 men on. God was not sending them into the land of Canaan to go and have an interview, to sit down in a nice comfy chair and have a cup of tea, or iced tea, whatever they drink, but sit down and just have a nice chat and around and say, you know what, well, we're going to want to come and take this land, and will you give it to us for free? No, this was not a friendly interview. God was sending these 12 men to meander, as it were, to spy out the land, to be secretive, knowing, because we'll find out later on, as we would read through the scripture, that these are enemies in Canaan. They would happily kill these spies, happily kill them if they find them. You know, this mission that God sent these 12 men on, and indeed sent Caleb on, was a dangerous mission. But not merely was it a dangerous mission, but it was a difficult mission. God's mission involved difficulty. You look at me, please, at verse 17. We read of Numbers 13, verse 17, and Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, get ye up this way southward and go up into the mountain. According to Joshua chapter 15, verse 1, we read that this southward refers to a wilderness, the wilderness of Zin. And the idea was that there, the Ark Kadesh Barnea, they will have to travel east toward the Mediterranean Sea, and then they will have to head up towards a mountainous region. And they will head up as far as the promised land was promised, up north, and then they would move over to the east and then come all the way down again. This was a difficult mission. They would have to go through the driest part of that land, the wilderness is in. They would then have to climb a long and arduous mountainous range. This was not going to be easy. They would have to travel hundreds of miles, and they would do so in simply 40 days. This was a difficult mission. Notice one other thing regarding this. God's mission involved danger and difficulty, but it also involved intensity. Look at me again at verse 17. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, get ye up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what the cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether it be wood therein or not. And be of good courage. And if all the details and all the commands that Moses gave was not enough, Moses turned and said, well, bring the fruit of the land. God's command to Caleb, and indeed the other 11, was an intense command. They were to go and observe the people in the land, each place they went to. They would observe whether the people were strong or weak, whether there were many of them or few of them, whether they observed the land itself, whether the land was good or bad for dwelling, whether there were how many cities there were, how many tents there were, how many strongholds there were. They were to observe the productivity of the land, whether it was fat or whether it was lean. They were to observe the forests, so that whenever Moses and the army of Israel would actually enter into the promised land, that they would know where they could hide or know where they could move to their best advantage. This was an intense command. It was not a simple dander. No, this was an intense command. No straightforward task, no walk in the park. It involved danger, difficulty, and intensity of body, mind, and heart. But note with me, Caleb was willing to go, because in verse 21 we read they went up. Caleb was willing to go. I wonder this morning, if God was to call you and I to a dangerous work, would you and I be willing to go? If God was to call you and I to stand up for him in the school or in the workplace, and it may result in people not liking us losing some of our popularity, losing maybe perhaps our position in work like Daniel did or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did, would you and I be willing to obey God? Would you and I be willing to go? You see, Caleb was one who wholly followed the Lord. His sails, as it were all the way up, every one of those sails, that wherever the Lord blew and directed, Caleb went. No matter what the danger, no matter what the consequence, he went. Are you and I willing to obey whatever God asks us to do, even if it involves danger? What about if God asks us to do that which will involve difficulty and intensity, whether it be of the mind, whether it be of the body, whether it be of the heart? I have no doubt that whenever God called Noah to build that ark, it wasn't an easy job. He had to go and find the materials. He had to go and prepare the materials. He then had to build the actual ark, and it took him many years. It involved intensity, and I have no doubt it involved difficulty. I have no doubt that it wasn't plain sailing the entire way. But yet, he did it. I have no doubt that whenever the children of Israel would fight against their enemies, the Amalekites, that it was an easy battle, because we read in Exodus 17 that they fought until the going down of the sun. I have no doubt that whenever Eliezer fought against the Philistines, and he slew hundreds of them, we read that he smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand clave onto the sword. It clave onto it. It was like glue onto it. He couldn't just move his hand off it. You see, sometimes God will call you and I to that which is intense and that which is difficult. Sometimes life just does not go like an easy stream. One of the songs my little girls like to sing is row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Well, life is just not always like that. It's not always like that. If God calls you to do something which is dangerous, something which is difficult, something which involves intensity and struggle, are you willing to do it? Or would you say, no, not for me. Not for me. And again, we come back to the children's address. Are we part of Christ's body where he is our only head? We only have one head. Is Christ our head? Many years ago in America, there used to exist a fellowship of Christian athletes. At one of their gatherings, a man called Bobby Richardson, who was a former professional baseball player for the New York Yankees, he opened in prayer, and listen to what he prayed. Dear God, your will, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. Amen. Oh, that wasn't a very long prayer, but it was a very powerful one. Lord, your will, nothing more, nothing less, and nothing else. Lord, just whatever your will is, my sails are set up high, just you blow away. Again, can you and I sing like the hymn writer, where he may lead me, I will go. For I have learned to trust him so, and I remember it was for me. It was for me that he died on Calvary. Even if he was to come to die for nobody else, he came and he died for me. Even if he was to suffer for nobody else, he came to suffer for me. Even if he was to come to shed his blood for no one else, he came to shed his blood for me. And because he's loved me so, I love him. Whatever he calls me, whatever he asks me to do, I will go. Caleb, he followed the Lord with willingness. Willingness. But notice with me then, secondly, Caleb followed the Lord with focus. He followed the Lord with focus. You see, after we are told about how the 12 spies, they listened to the command of Moses and they went in verse 21 of Numbers chapter 13, read in the following verses how they went through the land and of their return in verse 25. In verse 26, we read of them coming before Moses and Aaron and they bring a report. You look at me please at Numbers chapter 13, verse 27, because this is where they speak the report. Verse 27, and they told him, that is Moses, and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, the cities are walled, and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea, and by the coast of Jordan. And whenever these 10 spies brought forth their report, all they did was focus on the difficulties. And he said, look, Moses, right down to the very south, the Amalekites. Whenever you go up there to the west, you've got the mountainous regions, you have the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites. Whenever you go by the sea, by the Jordan, you've got the Canaanites. And the idea of mentioning that is you can't even get from the south, you can't get from the east because that's where the Mediterranean Sea is. Or the west, you can't get from the east because, well, that's where the Canaanites are in Jordan. You know, you just can't get in, Moses. But yet, in spite of all the difficulties, and in spite of the seeming impossibility, you look at me at verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able. We are well able to overcome it. Now the people ignore Caleb's words in the following verses, right up until chapter 14, verse 4. They ignore Caleb's words and turn around and say, it is impossible to do this. Let's run back to Egypt. Let's get a captain who's going to take us all the way back to Egypt. And then we read in verse 6 of chapter 14, where Caleb and Joshua, they speak again to the people. In verse 7 we read, and they speak unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Notice with me that while the people focused on the difficulty and the seeming impossibility, Caleb was one who followed the Lord with a focus. He kept his eyes on the Lord. Caleb was one who kept his eyes on the power of the Lord. He said, look, people, we are well able. It sounds like an expression you get in Northern Ireland. Not that we can do it. Not that we're able, but we're well able to do it. Well able. Well able to do it. Why? Because chapter 14, verse 7, the Lord is with us. The Lord is with us. Oh yes, you may have the children of Anak there. You may have the giants there. And they may be bigger than us, but they're not bigger than God. Not bigger than God. Caleb kept his eyes on the power of the Lord. He kept his eyes on the promise of the Lord because in verse 30, he turned around and said, let us go up at once and possess it. It is our possession. It is our inheritance. The strength has departed because God has promised to give it to us. And Caleb believed in the righteousness of the Lord Because in verse 8 of chapter 14 he says about the Lord delighting in them. Oh yes, they were only sinners. But Caleb knew that he was one who trusted God. And there are many in that land who trusted God. And Christ, as it were, then came down and covered them with his robe of righteousness. And God delighted in them because of Christ. God loved them because of Christ. God will never do that which is good for them because of Christ. Caleb was one who kept his focus on the Lord. Can I ask you this morning, whenever difficulty comes, where do you look? Do you look at the difficulty or do you look at the Lord? Whenever tiredness comes, and I speak to myself here, whenever tiredness comes and you feel that you've got no strength to go forward, where do you look? To yourself, because you've got no strength there, or do you look to the Lord? Whenever disappointments come and you feel like the Lord's work is a waste of time, where do you look? Do you look to the Lord? Do you keep your eyes on Him? The hymn writer said, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and then the things of this earth, the disappointments and the discouragements and the defeats and the setbacks, the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. It's interesting that the name Caleb comes from a Hebrew word which means forcible. And the idea that Caleb was one who had his eyes on God and nothing would take his eyes off God. He was focused on God. We read in Joshua chapter 14 that Caleb, his father's name was Jephunneh. He's a son of Jephunneh. That name Jephunneh simply means he will prepare. Jephunneh was one who prepared Caleb. Whenever Caleb was being brought up, his father was one who prepared him. And you see, Caleb's grandfather, who was a Kenizzite, or indeed a Kenaz, his name means a hunter, one who would go into battle with whatever he was hunting. And you see, Caleb taking all of this into picture, Jephunneh was one who prepared Caleb, prepared him for battle, so he would not turn and run, but turn and face the enemy. He prepared the battle, prepare him for battle by getting his eyes on God. The power of God, the salvation of God, the promise of God. One who would never fail him. I wonder, this morning, are you and I those who keep our eyes on God? You and I could look at the willingness of Caleb, willing to do whatever God had his, as it were, his sails up on that ship. You may wonder, how on earth could he ever do it? And the answer is, he just kept his eyes on the Lord. He kept his focus on Him. Because He faileth not. He faileth not. Let me ask you, are you discouraged this morning? Are you weary this morning? Are you tired this morning? Are you looking at something ahead of you, whether it be in God's work or whether it be in your own life? You're thinking, well, how can I get through this? How can I have the strength to get through this? How can I have the wisdom, the ability to get through it? Well, I encourage you, lift up your eyes unto your hills from whence cometh your help, and your help cometh from the Lord, which made with all power the heaven and the earth. And Caleb, he followed the Lord with willingness. He followed the Lord with focus. But notice with me, thirdly, he followed the Lord with likeness. Look at me again at Numbers chapter 14. In these verses 6 to 10, as Caleb's already stilled the people, told them to focus on the Lord, they ignored him. And then Joshua and Caleb here in verse 6 of Numbers 14, they speak again to the people and basically seek to get their eyes upon the Lord. But why do they do that? Well, look at me at verse 9. Because they say, only rebel not ye against the Lord. Neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Caleb was one, as he followed the Lord, as he kept his eyes on the Lord, as he focused on the Lord, as he saw the Lord, he became more like the Lord. Because the Lord was one who wanted the people to go forward. The Lord is not one who wants us to rebel. The Lord is not one who wants us to fear. The Lord is not one who wants us to feel going on with Him. And you see, Caleb, seeing God, he became like God, and his heart went out to the people. He says, rebel not, fear not. Look to God, go on with God. You see, Caleb, following the Lord, he became like Him. He had a Christ-like desire. He wanted God's people to go on with God. And that's exactly what Christ prayed. In John 17, he said to his Father, "Sanctify them, set them apart unto me through thy truth." Caleb had a Christ-like desire, a Christ-like selflessness, because whenever Caleb put his head above the parapet the first time, the people ignored him. But whenever he put his head above the parapet the second time, we read in verse 10, it's Numbers 14, that they went to stone him. Caleb knew the people. He knew the temper of them. He knew that if he put his head above the parapet the second time, that he could have gotten great trouble. And he almost got killed for it. But notice with me that Caleb, with boldness and with selflessness, he was willing to do what was right. He was willing to love the people, to get their eyes again on the Lord, even if they hated him for it, because he loved them. And he loved God. As you and I follow the Lord and have our eyes upon him, we will become like him. For those who were at the prayer meeting last Thursday, we've been looking through Nehemiah. And last Thursday, we looked at those who came to Ezra and they wanted to hear the word of God because they wanted to be changed. And how would they be changed? They'd be changed as they heard the word of God and they saw Christ in it. Because the Spirit of the Word of God, who has written God's Word, the Spirit, in all he does, shows us Christ. He testifies and bears of him. And you see, the Apostle Paul declared in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 that we, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, as we behold him, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. As you and I go to God's Word, as you and I see Christ in God's Word, we are changed into glory, into glory. Made more and more like Christ. As we see him who's loving, we become more loving. As we see him who's merciful, we become more merciful. As we see him who's gentle, we become more gentle. As we see him who was selfless, we become more selfless. As we see him who uses strength for God, and that alone, we become more meek ourselves. Can I ask you this morning, do you have your eyes upon God? If you don't have your eyes upon Christ, you'll not become like him more and more. But if you do, be encouraged, you will. You will. Caleb, he followed the Lord with willingness, with focus, with likeness. He also followed the Lord with persistence. You see, the children of Israel, in Numbers 14, they didn't listen to Joshua, they didn't listen to Caleb. And they wouldn't believe God, and they wouldn't believe his power, and they wouldn't believe his salvation. And so they didn't go into the promised land. And as a result, God said that all those who were 20 years old and above would all die, save Joshua and save Caleb, because they have wholly followed me. Because they believed in me. And so, for 40 years, Caleb had to persist in his walk with God. He had to persist, waiting and waiting and waiting to get into that promised land which God had promised for him because of the sin of others. But he waited. He persisted. He continued to follow God even in the midst of discouragement, even in the midst of setbacks, even in the midst of disappointments. He continued, he persisted in following God. For those 40 years in the wilderness, he persisted with God. He persisted, yes, through the disappointment and the setback. He persisted through battles and difficulties. He persisted through sicknesses. He persisted through hunger, times of hunger and times of thirst, as we read the scriptures, for those 40 years. Even whenever they would go into the promised land, it would take 5 years at least before Caleb would begin to get some of his inheritance. And so for 45 years, Caleb would persist and he would not give up. He would not give up. He would follow the Lord with persistence. Maybe there's someone here this morning and you began well with God, but now it's almost like the wheels have come off. You're not going on the same way. You know, you can come to the Lord this morning, you confess your sin, as I can confess my sin, and God's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. He's faithful. He's just, he's willing and able to do it because Christ has died for us. He's our advocate. But will you come to the Lord this morning and go on with God with persistence? And for those who are going on with God this morning, perhaps you look at the days ahead and think, I don't know, will God ever give me the strength to carry on? I just feel my face so weak. Well, be encouraged. God gave Caleb, who was simply just a man, he gave a sinner saved by grace, he gave Caleb the strength to persist for 45 years. And in all that time, Caleb wholly followed the Lord. Remember, six times God declared it. Caleb has wholly followed me. God's able to give the strength. God's able to give the grace to go on with him. No matter what you come to. Be encouraged. Look to him for strength. Cry to him for help. He is there. He's willing. He's able. Notice with me briefly that Caleb followed the Lord also with boldness. You turn please to Joshua chapter 14. I'll just summarize this for time. Joshua chapter 14. Read about how now Caleb has entered into the land. The 40 years are over. He's entered into the land with Joshua. He looks back and he declares about how he has wholly followed the Lord there. In verse 8. But now, he looks at the promised inheritance that God had declared he would give him. And Caleb cries, goes to Joshua, who is now the leader, Moses being dead. And he goes to Joshua and he cries, give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. Oh yes, there's giants that were there. Difficulties that were there. But Caleb, knowing that God has directed him to this particular plot of land, and even though it's a mountainous plot of land, Caleb goes, give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. Mountains are difficult to climb. They're also difficult to fight uphill. Mountains are difficult then whenever you actually take them to build on, because you need to flatten them. Quite often there can be rock in the foundations of them. Difficult to live on. Windy. No easy access to the river or the water. Oh, but yeah, you get a beautiful view from it. And yet, knowing the beautiful outcome in spite of all the difficulties, Caleb cried, give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. Even at 85 years of age, Caleb was still willing to go on with God, and he was willing to be bold for God. See, he remembered God's promise. That God had promised him this land. He remembered God's providence, that God had given him and kept him while others had perished, and that even now his strength is even as it was whenever he was 45 years younger. He still is strong as what he was. He remembers God's promise to him. He sees God's providence in his life. And doing that, he then requests, Lord, give me this mountain. Give me what you've promised me. Give me what you've declared in your precious word. And the reality is, in Joshua 15, he receives it. He receives it. Sometimes in life, you and I can just want the easy things. You know, we can just want victory over the easy sins. But yet there may be sins in your heart and sins in my heart, and they're difficult to get over. Difficult to overcome, but Caleb was one who cried, give me this mountain. Give me that difficult. Give me that which is hard. Give it to me, Lord. For thy glory and for thy good. Sometimes you and I, we would just rather live in revival rather than have to pray for revival. You and I would want to live in a time whenever people are seeking after God than in a time whenever they fear God than in a time whenever they don't fear God and they've got no time for God. But yet, even in the midst of difficulty, are you and I those that prayed, Lord, give me the mountain? It doesn't matter how difficult things are. It doesn't matter how apathetic people are. It doesn't matter how great the sin is in my life. Lord, no matter how difficult it is, Lord, give me the mountain. You promised salvation. You promised sanctification in my own heart and life. And Lord, you promised to save the lost and to save boys and girls. You promised to save young people. You promised to save men and women. Lord, you promised to bless the preaching of your word. Lord, you promised these things. And no matter how difficult it is, Lord, give me the mountain. Give me the salvation that you have promised. He came with a boldness to the Lord. And I conclude, he followed the Lord with influence. In Joshua chapter 14, we read about Caleb's daughter. And you see, Caleb was one who had faith in God. And God gave him great influence over his own family. Because Caleb's daughter was one who then cried for springs, cried for land, cried for an inheritance that God had promised. What about Caleb's brother Othniel? When the book of Judges, Othniel becomes one of the judges, a great and godly judge. And even in times of great difficulty, whenever the children of Israel have, as it were, their backs to the walls, yet Othniel goes out in faith and belief in God and overcomes the enemy, just like Caleb himself did many years before. Some of Caleb's own children are described that which are pleasant. Those, one who is described as an oak, strong and mighty. You see, as Caleb followed the Lord, has his sails, as it were, set up to the Lord. The Lord used Caleb, not merely in his own victories, but to be an influence and to encourage others. And you see, as you and I follow God, no man's an island. God will see, others will see our lives. And they will see it's God working in us. And God will get the glory. But they themselves will be encouraged. You may never realize it. You may never know it. But others will be encouraged and others will be strengthened. You know, God is the one who honors character. God is the one who takes a light, and as it shines brightly, he puts it in a place where there's darkness, so the darkness can be changed by it. Oh, this morning I want to ask you, are you like that old man at the very beginning who is a hermit in the little hut? Are you willing to take your life, that violin, as it were, and give it to the master? Are you willing, as it were, like Caleb, to raise up your sails in a big ship, every single one of your sails, and say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, show it to me through your word. Every day as I read it, show me it. As I come to your house in the Lord's day and to the prayer meeting, show me your word. As I come to your children's meeting, I come to your fellowship, Lord, show me your word. Direct me. Blow me the direction you want me to go. And no matter where it is, Lord, you lead me and you use me. Lord, I want to wholly follow you for your glory and for the good of all those around. Is this our prayer? Where he may lead me, I will go, for I have learned to trust him so. He'll only ever do that which is beautiful as the great master. And it was for me he died on Calvary. The Lord bless his word to your heart and mine. Let's bind a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we ask thee that thou wouldst be pleased to take thy precious word, write it upon every one of our hearts. And Lord, lead us on after Christ. Help us have our eyes upon him this morning. The one we read about, Caleb, having a heart like Christ. Lord, we want to thank you for Christ himself, the one who wants us to go on with him. The one who prays even now to thee, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. The one, Father, who does not want us to rebel, who does not want us to fear, but wants us to see him and trust in him. Lord, please, in the merits of Christ, come and speak to us all this morning. And lead us on with thyself. We cry these things in Jesus' name. Be with those who remain for the time around the Lord's table. Blessed we pray. And for those that must go or undertake, we cry. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.